stand with me this morning? Psalm 122, 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, and here we are. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Come, now is the time. Worship you in this place. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done today right here in Noble Assembly of God. Let lives be touched. Let hearts be changed. Let faith be encouraged. Let your will be done, we pray. Bless and protect and heal and minister, and let your will be done in every single person in this building and those watching online. We pray for you to touch them, help them, heal them, minister to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. What a great day to worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. Pastor Phil and the youth team and the adults with him are traveling on their way back from Denver today. So, you know, a little bit we're going to pray for them with along with some other needs for them to make it safely back. And so we're just glad to see you today. As far as in the way of announcements, just real quickly, August 1 through the 21, we're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many of you know that we need the touch of the Lord on our country, in our church, and wherever? We need God's power to be poured out, for His Spirit to be poured out upon this nation. And I believe that the answer to that is found when God's people pray and fast. Yeah. And so for 21 days, we normally do this at the start of every year, but in prayer last couple of weeks ago, it just felt like the Lord said, Steve, we need to call a time of fasting and prayer for our nation. So I don't know what that'll look like for you. It looks like different for everybody. If you want to fast the entire time, if you want to fast a meal a day, pray or certain days a week, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But we want to see everybody involved in some way of fasting and praying for the Lord's will to be done in our nation. For faith, for family, how many of you do you need the Lord? You could see the Lord doing some work in your family. Amen. And certainly for our freedom. And so we want to pray for that. And so there's other announcements there in your bulletin, but know that we want to see God's will be done, and we invite all of you to be a part of that. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering right now. So if our ushers would come, thank you for your giving. Hallelujah. What a joy it is to give to the Lord, to tithe. And how many of you know we can never outgive God? He's always ahead of us. He always says, if you put me first, I'll take care of every need you have. And so what a joy it is to worship the Lord in our giving. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time we have today to give and our worship to you. We thank you, Father God, for both the gift and the giver. And we pray, God, that you would bless that is given, that you would multiply it just like you did the loaves and the fish there in the New Testament, that you would use it, Lord, to minister to the multitudes. And we just thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask the team to come back. We're going to continue worshiping the Lord today. We're going to start back with an old hymn of the church called When We All Get to Heaven. How many of you know heaven is coming? There's a day coming when we're going to heaven. Amen. We'll sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the will Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. I'm going to be there. You going to be there? How many of you looking forward to heaven? Hallelujah. There's some loved ones I want to see again. I haven't seen Grandma and Grandpa now for several years, and I want to see them again. I want to hug their neck. Aren't you glad that we have that hope? It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy. It's not some fable, but it is the truth. Pam Hallett, you're going to see your mama again. Hallelujah. We could go around the room naming people you're going to see again. I want to see Big Joe again. Amen. I'm so thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus today. Hallelujah. I don't know what people do that don't have that hope. I don't know how they function. I don't know how they get up the next day without the hope of, man, there's something more beyond this life. And in the meantime, God's got us right in his hands. Amen. No matter what we face, he's holding us right here. He says, I got you. I got you. No matter what you're going through, whatever you face, Jesus says, I've got you. I'm taking care of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord, today. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. That's right, no sweeter name. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Sing it out. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. You're the truth and the way, Lord. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Say that name, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Say that name again one more time. Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, you are the life to my heart and my soul, you are the light to the darkness around me, you are the hope to the hopeless and broken, you are the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Today we worship you, Jesus. There's no sweeter name than yours. No sweeter name than your name, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Magnify you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing this with me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me again. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Have your way in us today, Lord. Father, we pray for those sick today, but the virus or those that's been exposed, we pray that you touch them and heal them all. We need a healing in our country. We pray for our country today. We pray for not only physical healing, we pray especially for spiritual healing, for economic healing. Those lives and families and individuals whose jobs have been affected and livelihood, we pray for provision and healing. We pray, Father God, today that you would indeed be with our team that's traveling back from Denver. Pray that you would be with those that are driving. I pray the cars that they pass going the other direction and other vehicles, Lord, that they would safely get to their destinations. We just thank you for this week that they've been able to minister there at the Dream Center. We pray for our president, President Trump. We pray for Governor Stitt. We pray for our mayors. We pray for all those in leadership that it would go well with them and well with us. Give them wisdom. Give them courage. Let them speak the truth and not false things. Help them, we pray. We need your help. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, because we depend on you. Let that be true in the United States of America. Again, we pray and we declare. Father, we pray for Bradley Shoemate, Jack and Gail Freeman's grandson, and Pastor Phil's nephew. We pray that you would touch him as he was taken to the hospital today in severe pain. We pray that you would touch Bradley right now. We lift his name up to heaven. We pray for April's cousin, Olivia, who was in the boating accident at Lake Texoma. We pray that you would just heal her of these injuries, having already had three surgeries and in surgery now. Lord, just touch this need, we pray. We pray for Steve Tyler's brother-in-law, Richard, who has cancer. And so many other needs, things we pray about regularly on Wednesday night, Lord, them we lift up to you as well. Father, we just pray your kingdom come and your will be done in this service this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just give the Lord praise right now? Would you just lift your praise to the Lord? Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift our voices to you. We lift our hands to you. Hand claps. Lord, we lift our praise and worship and thanksgiving to you. Hallelujah. You said if we don't praise you, the rocks will cry out. Lord, there's no rock that's going to take my place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're still on the throne. Still in charge. Large and in charge. Thank you, God, for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank the Lord for your attendance this morning. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I always look forward to Sundays. Our Sundays are better than Brahms. And Brahms is pretty good, especially the hot fudge. Oh, yeah. I know you're thinking, Pastor, quit talking. Now you're going to get my mind off of what God wants to say, and I'm thinking about that hot fudge whipped cream and the cherry on top. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to read two verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. In a message I've entitled Heart to Heart. Heart to Heart. Now, not the show of the 70s. How many remember the old show of the 70s with Jonathan and Jennifer Hart, and they'd go around solving crime things, you know? What was his name? Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers, you know? They'd go around solving. That's not what we're going to talk about today, okay? I did like that show along with a few others, you know, Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island, Heart to Heart, you know. How many of you were in that era with me? Yes, yes, oh, yes. Some of the young people saying, what is he talking about? Those were all the good shows. Yeah, how many of you remember Emergency and Squad 51? Yeah. Dragnet. Yeah, yeah.
Joe Friday. And that's the rest of the story. I don't hear what he said. All right. Well, we're not going to talk about that this morning. That's just to get your attention, heart to heart. We're talking about H-E-A-R-T to H-E-A-R-T. But first of all, let's read the scripture. Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. Oh, I'm sorry. It did say all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Man, that is about my most favorite scripture in the Old Testament. I love that. I've always loved that scripture. I love it so much I'm going to read it again, okay? In fact, just read it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless this message this morning. We pray, open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to what you want to say to us. And we give you all the praise and the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have you ever had to have a heart-to-heart conversation with someone? You know what we mean by that. In fact, the definition of a heart-to-heart conversation is a conversation between two people, especially close friends or family, in which they talk freely about their feelings or personal problems. Now, that's what that means. But how many of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a heart-to-heart? It's kind of like a come down to the to Jesus, a come to Jesus meeting, a real down to earth, heart to heart conversation. You all have had that maybe with a family member or with a friend or with a neighbor, someone. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to have with us today. I think the Lord, in light of everything that's happening in our country, He wants to have a heart to heart with us today. And that's what's been on my heart, and I feel like the Lord put that on my heart to share with you this morning, a heart to heart. So today I want to share with you five things that I believe are on the Lord's heart that He wants to say to His church today. Five things on the Lord's heart. If you could just imagine sitting in a chair and the Lord pulls up a chair next to you and says, Ronnie Boggs, I want to have a talk with you. I want to tell you five things that's really on my heart that I want you to receive. I want you to imagine that if that's you today, the Lord's sitting right in front of you or right next to you and said, Cheeto, I want you to listen to me today. Not Cheeto. I mean... Right, man, huh? Ronaldo? Yeah, but Cheetah. Well, that's what I thought. I'll be all right in a minute. Got some of that sometimers going on. So the first thing I think the Lord would say to us today, the first thing on His heart, are these words, trust me, I've got this. Trust me, I've got this. For years we have preached and we have sang and we have taught about trusting in the Lord, have we not? How many have heard the term all your life, trust in the Lord? We sing songs about it. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We sing songs like leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Cornerstone, which says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And there are millions, maybe not millions, but at least hundreds and thousands of songs that have been written over the years about trusting in the Lord. And they're all true and they're all right. But how many of you know sometimes it comes down to believing what we sing and what we say? When it really is right before us, we got to say, you know what? Do I really believe the Lord's taking care of me? Am I really trusting Him? And the scripture we read a few moments ago from Proverbs 3 is still true. It's still reliable in today's troubled world. I want to tell you, God knew what we would be facing in 2020 before the world even began. God knew what would be happening in our nation and in our land and in your family and so on. He knew everything that would happen. He's not baffled by it. He wasn't caught off guard. Satan didn't slip it in while God had his back turned. God knows and sees, and he is in control. Whether, even if it affects your family, things that you've gone through, God knew what you would face. And that gives so much peace and comfort to know that my Heavenly Father already knew this was going to be happening. And he's still on the throne. He's not baffled, as I said. He's not caught off guard. Regardless of the season, the year, the place, or the time, the Lord wants you to know, hey, I've got this because I've got you. He promises to take care of his children just as any good father would. He's a good father. We sing that song occasionally. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, I think reflect the heart of the Lord and the heart of the Father and the times in which we live. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And a big amen to that. He loves us. He cares about what's happening. We can stand on and believe these words from God's word. And then in the Old Testament, look back at Psalm 91. This is a great psalm during the times in which we're living. Psalm 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample on lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. That's the word of God. Amen. That's the word of God. That's not my word. That's not anybody else's word. That's God's word. We don't have to worry. We can trust God for every beat of our heart and every breath in our lungs. Amen. He knows when you get up. He knows what time you got up this morning. If you got up at 4:15, he knew it. If you got up at 9:15, he knew it. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you get up, when you go to sleep at night, when you awake in the morning, and he watches over you through all throughout the night. Psalm 121 says he never slumbers nor sleeps. We can lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. Hallelujah. So number one, the Lord is saying to us today and to everyone, trust me. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, if you're endeavoring to live your life for the Lord, we can trust him. He's saying, I've got this. You're going to get through this. Amen? Number two, secondly, the Lord would say to us in his heart-to-heart conversation, be about my business. What's his business? Well, Jesus told his parents, and Ronnie touched on this in Sunday school this morning, in Luke 2:49, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Remember, they were trying to find him, and they found him in the temple at 12 years old, and they said, where are you? And he said, I must be about my Father's business. I want to tell you, the Father's business hasn't changed, and we are to be about the Father's business. The Lord would say to us, I want you to be about my business. Don't get caught up on the side things. Don't get caught up in the trivial. I want your first and foremost purpose in your life is to be about the kingdom of God and to be about my business. We can't afford to do any less. It's the last days, is it not? We need to be about his business. The Lord's business is this, to seek and to what? Save the lost. Lost people. God's business is people. He's in the people business, helping people, healing people, bringing hope to people, lasting hope, telling them that Jesus died for them, that Jesus has a place prepared for them, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is for them and wants to live and work and move in their lives. That's our message. That's our business, to tell people about that. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, he said this, we must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. And in Christ, as Matthew 5:14 declares, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world in Christ. There's a lot of darkness around us, amen? There's a lot of darkness around us. There's a lot of things that people are saying that are right that we know are wrong. And people are saying things that are wrong that they're now right. We're living in an upside down world. So there's a lot of darkness out there. And when there's a lot of darkness, even a little bitty light shines brightly. We are to be shining in this world. It is a rewarding blessing to know you made a difference in another person's life. How many of you know that? When you know the Lord has used you to help somebody else, it's so refreshing and rewarding. You feel so good about that. And the Lord is pleased when we trust him and love him, and when we reach out and love others, pointing them to salvation. I don't know about you, but I want to please the Lord. How many of you want to please the Lord? I want to please the Lord. He's my commanding officer. As the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, endure suffering along with me. Paul wrote this to Timothy, but it would apply to us today. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. We want to please our commanding officer. We've been enlisted in the army of the Lord. If you are a believer today, you are enlisted in God's army. He's your commander. He's the commander in chief of the kingdom of heaven, and we want to please him. So we must be about the most important business, the business of witnessing and winning the lost to Christ. Second thing, first of all, trust me, I've got this. The second heart-to-heart statement he tells us is, be about my business. Thirdly, I believe the Lord would say to us today, I am coming soon. I know we've heard that our entire lives. How many of you have heard that your entire life? We all have. How many of you would agree with me that we are closer now than we were? I've heard it my entire life. I got saved when I was 8 years old in Enid, Oklahoma. I turned 59 this last week, so 51 years since I've been a Christian, I have heard that Jesus is coming. You know what? It hasn't changed the fact that he isn't come yet, the fact that he's coming. He is coming. He is coming. Jesus said, I will be back. The signs of the time are becoming more and more prevalent. Now, our team last Monday left for Denver at about 5:30 in the morning. As they left the parking lot in our two vans, how many signs did they see between here and Norman that said Denver, 510 miles or whatever it is? How far is it to Denver, Jack? 700. There was no sign that said 700 miles, was there? Oh, then I know they went up I-35, so they got to Wichita. Do you think they saw a sign in Wichita that may have said Denver, 500 miles? Probably not. You know where I'm going with this. But as they got on Interstate 70, headed to Denver, and they got closer, and all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, I can't tell you where, but somewhere along the way, there was a sign that popped up and said Denver, 115 miles. And then as they got closer, Denver, 52 miles. And then there were signs, and then there started being billboards about some businesses in Denver, or motels, or things they could do. All of a sudden, the signs were one right after another. As they pull into the city limits of Denver, the signs are all around. That's the kind of way it is with coming of the Lord. There's a lot more signs. Denver, Jesus is getting a lot closer. A lot closer. Revelation 22 and verse 7 says, look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. Revelation 22, 12. Again, he says, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. Revelation 22, 20. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. You want to know the reason why I think the Lord has held off his coming? So more and more people could have gotten saved. I've told this before, but I remember distinctly in 1977, I was 16 years old. I remember riding in the car. For some reason, I think my dad was working that day, but we were on the way to church with my mom. My mom was driving. I was sitting in the front seat beside her in passenger side. And I said, Mom, I really feel like the Lord's going to come this year. I remember that. I can tell you right where the car was on the road to church where I said it. And she just said, well, we never know. We got to be ready. But I think how many people and what would have happened to people had the Lord come in 1977? How many years ago has that been now? 43 years ago. Man, I'm getting old. 43 years ago. How many of you, I'm just curious, how many of you 43 years ago, if you were even alive, I'm sorry, Carson, I know you weren't even alive then, but 43 years ago, had the Lord come in 1977, as he could have, how many of you wouldn't have been ready or would have been lost? Raise your hand. Yeah, raise your hand. There's a lot of people. They wouldn't have been ready. So aren't you glad this morning the Lord held off his coming until you could get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? I think that's why the Lord has held off, because there's more and more people can get their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. More and more people can be saved and set free from their sins. More and more people will be going to heaven. I think that's the only reason the Father hasn't leaned over to Jesus and said, Son, go get my children. is because he's waiting another day, just another day, just another minute, another hour, somebody's going to come to know Jesus as their Savior. I think that's the only reason. I think Jesus wants us to be in heaven. I think he's looking forward to heaven. How many of you are looking forward to heaven? Amen. The more stuff we see on this earth, I'm getting hungrier for heaven. You know, I've always wanted to go to heaven, but lately I'm thinking, Lord, boy, why don't you just come today? But I think that's the reason why. It's because of God's great mercy and love. He's held off his coming because he loves people. He loves people. God's delays are not his denials. Just because he hasn't come hasn't nullified the promise. He will come, just as he said, and he wants us to be ready, to be waiting, to be watching. Probably most of all, for his church, he wants us to be working. Until then, as the song says, we must continue to let the light of the Lord shine and be the salt of the earth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. Did I already read that, Kelvin? Okay, I got mixed up here for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, Paul says this to Timothy, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life." What Paul is saying to Timothy here can be applied to each one. Just think of it as the Lord write this to you. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God who gives life to all and before Christ Jesus who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen. Paul is telling Timothy, Jesus will come, just as he said. Just as he said. I love that verse. I don't have it on the screen there. 1 Corinthians, I think it is 2:8 or something like this. For eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine. That's where Bart Millard got the idea for the song, "I Can Only Imagine." We don't know. God has some awesome things prepared for those who love him. Number four, the Lord, first of all, said, trust me, I've got this. He says, be about my business. Number three, he says, I'm coming soon. And number four, he says, I really do love you more than you'll ever know. I think the Lord would say to each one, I really, really, really do love you. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord loves you. Say it again. He loves you more than you'll ever know. One of the greatest defenses, hear me on this, one of the greatest defenses we have against the devil and his condemnation is being assured in our hearts that the Lord really, truly loves us. The devil wants to doubt you to doubt his love for you. One of the great things that sets us free from condemnation and puts passion in our heart is when we know that the Lord really, really, truly loves us, cares about us, wants the best for us. and will see us through. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 17, talk about God's love. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed you how much he loved us, or God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world." Hallelujah. God really, really loves you. Last of all, number five, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Certainly, a most critical need in the days we are living is to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." He wants a Spirit-filled church, a church on fire, a church that, as we talked about on Wednesday night, functions with unction. 7/8 of the word function is the word unction, right? There's 8 letters in the word function. We are called to function as the body of Christ. 7/8 of that word is the word unction. The word unction means anointing. It means Holy Spirit. We are to move and work and live and walk in the Holy Spirit. Unction is anointing. And I thought of it like this. I didn't say this Wednesday night in so many words, but I thought it like this. Without unction, all we get is an F. Without unction, we get an F. If we're graded by God and we don't have the unction of the Holy Spirit as a church, we get an F because we can't do it without him. We try and we try and we do this and we do that and we try to win the lost and we try to do all these things for God. But the Lord said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed with power from on high." We need the unction of the Holy Spirit to do what he's called us to do. Otherwise, we get an F. Woo! We need the unction. We need to be praying for that unction. "Lord, fill me with your Spirit." You say, "I had that happen 42 years ago. Yeah, so did I. But you probably leaked. We need to be filled again and again and again. When he talks about being filled with the Spirit, the verb tense is be filled and keep on being filled. Keep on being renewed. Somebody said, "Well, you don't have to have the Spirit of the Lord. You don't have to have the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. You need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart." Especially in our world today. You need the Holy Spirit to go anywhere. If we're going to accomplish something, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to passion us and promote us right out of my peas, to provide the power for us to do what needs to be done. Amen. Pray, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit." The last few mornings I've been getting up, Pastor Phil and Kelly kind of convicted me. They're always out running around our neighborhood and jogging or walking. I thought, man, I need to be doing that. I need to be getting some exercise. And so the last few mornings I've been getting up early, and I'm out on our addition by 6 o'clock walking laps around our, 2 laps around our addition is a mile, right? So I just thought, man, this is the perfect time just to pray. At 5:45 this morning, I was out in our addition, and I was walking laps, and I was praying for this service, and I was praying for you. And I was praying, God, fill us with your spirit. Lord, let your church be on fire again. Lord, move in us, move in our town, move in our country, move in me, move in my family. And help me get in shape too. You know why? One reason I told you that, just to tell you, I prayed about that, but say, I just made you all my accountability partners. Somebody's going to text me tomorrow. Did you get up? Did you walk? The answer's going to be, yes, I did. In conclusion, there you have it. 5 heart-to-heart messages from the Lord. Let me review them again. Trust me, I've got this. Man, I tell you, that I think that was number one, because the Lord just wants his body to know, his church, not to get all upset, don't get all out of sorts, don't get all bent and anxious and worried. I've got you. I've got this. It's going to pass. And if it don't, you've got me in heaven forever. That's right, Sherry, we win. We win. You're a winner. If you know Jesus, you're a winner today. If you don't know him, you better know him. You better come to know him. And you can come to know him. In just a few minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you want to know Christ or be prayed for, you can come down and be prayed for. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only thing that's going to last. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but what won't? The Bible says the word of God will stand forever. This word will be true when heaven and earth is gone. Trust me, I've got this. Number two, he says, be about my business. You know what my business is. Let your light shine. Be a witness in your words, in your deeds, when you go to the store with your family. Remember, you are representing, there's the word, you are representing me. We represent the Lord. Number three, I'm coming soon. Like I said, I've believed that my entire life, but I really believe it's closer now. The Lord is coming soon. Number four, just be assured in your heart that the Lord really, truly loves us more than we can ever know or comprehend. And last of all, the Lord wants his church filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit. He loves us. He died for us. He rose for us. He saved us. He's healed us, and he's coming back for us. He has a great and an amazing eternity in heaven planned for us. Have you received that love? I hope this heart-to-heart from the Lord has been helpful to you today. I trust that you are trusting him for the future. Trusting him even with your next breath. If not, I encourage you to hearken unto the voice of the Lord today. Because here's what it comes down to, basically. Get right or get left. Get right with God or get left when he comes again. I don't remember what Christian group sang it in the 70s, 80s, whenever it was recorded, but there was a song called Get Right or Get Left. And it's so true. If we don't get right, we will miss out on what Jesus shed his blood on the cross to purchase for us. But if we do get right, we will spend eternity in heaven with him. How many of you know if you follow the Lord and you serve the Lord and you love the Lord and you live your entire life for the Lord, you will never, ever regret that decision? I know a lot of people that got saved later in life, and they don't regret getting saved. They regret not getting saved sooner. Oh, if I'd have just known about the Lord earlier in my life. Don't put it off another day. If you're here, you're watching online today, and you don't know Christ, don't put it off one more second. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. Wash me, make me clean, purify my heart, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I confess you before the world that I am a Christian now, that I love God, and that I'm going to serve him the rest of my life, the rest of the amount of time God puts me on this earth. Lord, I'm going to live for you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. I just pray, God, that right now that you would speak to hearts. In this service or watching online, speak to hearts, Lord, right now. Holy Spirit, move in the hearts. Knock on their doors. Convict them of sin. Set them free in you today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer this morning, or if you want to be saved, you want to be prayed for, to be spirit-filled, whatever, prayed for healing, I invite you to come as we sing this last song again. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Don, go ahead and lead that. If anybody needs prayer, I'll be down here to pray with you. If you just want to come for prayer, if you just want to come down for prayer, but not necessarily for me to pray for you. Just these altars are open is what I'm trying to say. Anybody that wants to come, I invite you to come.
Every breath that I take,
yeah.
Every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in me, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way. My heart, Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way.
Oh, yes, Lord, that's our prayer. That's our desire. Have your way in us today. Oh, Lord, we just open our heart and our mind and our ears to your plans, to your spirit, to your purposes, Lord. We just want to honor you. We want to hear you one day say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter in to all that I've prepared for you. Lord, that's our prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your will be done in all of us, we pray. Keep your hand upon us and let us remember that we are light wherever we go. We are to witness. We are to be your ambassador to this world. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning.